we cover the book. And so I see a lot of new people here, and you're at Vallejo, and you're trying to get better. And so I thought what I would do is tell you what worked for me and what worked for the people who wrote the book. Is that okay? Rather than do two employers. Now, if you notice, we gave people books. And this book is called Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Everybody agree with that? And it's named Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was written in 1938, published in 1939. Now, in 1939, there was no Alcoholics Anonymous. There weren't any meetings. There were two groups, one in Akron, one in New York, and there was one new group in Cleveland. And before this book was written, there was no hope for me or for anybody in this room. There was no plan of recovery. And so you may hear a lot of things, but what I can only emphasize to you is my own experience, that until I studied the book and did what was in this book, my life didn't change. And so I really believe in that. Now, if you look at the first page, anybody open the book? Everybody got a book? Open the first page. The first page is blank. Everybody see that? The reason it's blank is because they don't want you to bring anything you know into the book. They assume that if you're going to read this book, that you're in a pretty bad shape. And they don't want you to bring any of your ideas into this book. They want you to open your mind to see what these people are telling you. And then it says Alcoholics Anonymous, and then it says, on this cover page, it says the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. Now, in the first edition, they only had 100 people sober. Now think about that. There were only maybe 100 people sober. And they wrote this book, and now we have this book in, 180 languages? And there are 25 million copies. And there are about 2 million people who have recovered. So there must be something to this book. And if you notice, it says, have recovered from alcoholism. They weren't in recovery, they were recovered. And what they meant by that was that they found the relationship with a power greater than themselves, and they didn't have to drink. The obsession to alcohol was lifted, and they had a power that could tell them, bad idea. Wouldn't that be good? And so they wanted to write a book. They decided in 1937 to write a book describing how these 40 people had gotten been able to stay sober. And so they published it. And if you turn to the table of contents, in the table of contents, in the original book, this is the fourth edition, in the original table of contents, there was just a foreword to the first edition. And then they had doctor's opinion. Now, if any of you are here, it's very important that you know what's wrong with you, what your problem is, if you're going to solve it. And the doctor's opinion tells me the problem. We'll go into that in a little bit. Bill Story is one of the founders of this program, and he writes what his experience was. He describes his alcoholism. He describes the problem he had, how he was given the solution, and what he did to get the solution. And then there's a solution, describes the solution in detail and how we got it. And then More About Alcoholism is designed to tell me why I need a higher power and I need God. And More About Alcoholism is to drive home the thought that if anybody said there's an alcoholic in this room, that I have no power in my mind to keep from drinking. Does anybody believe that you have a power to keep from drinking on your own? Now, we get a power so we don't have to drink, but it comes from God. On my own, I never have a choice to drink. And then we agnostics tell us where God is and how to find him, and how it works is steps 3 and 4. And then into action is the completion of the steps. So if you notice, it's 102 pages, basically 88 pages, to find a solution to your problem. Now, meetings are good. I like the meetings. I like AA. I love AA. But this book doesn't talk about that. This talks about the steps that you take as an alcoholic to solve your problem. And you can go to meetings, and I think it's great, but unless the meetings bring you to the book, you won't have the solution that they had. Now, if you can find another solution, that's fine. We don't say there's only one solution. But what we want to tell you is that if you're an alcoholic, you might want to open up your minds to a solution that isn't yours. So if you turn to the foreword of the first edition on page XIII, and this is the first words that were written. Now, this book was written so that if you're an alcoholic and you got this book, you could read it, follow the directions, and you would have what they had. And so this book is written as a textbook. It's written as a textbook to tell you what the information from their mind to yours on what they did. Now, you may not like the book. You may not like what they did. They don't ask you that. They just say, if what you're doing isn't working, open your mind and try this. And we don't tell you to follow this plan. Nobody tells you you have to do this. But we suggest that if what you've done has not worked, you might try this. So they say here, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, did anybody here think at one time they have a hopeless state of mind and body? And it seems hopeless, doesn't it? But guess what? It's not really hopeless. It has seemed hopeless. There's hope for you. And here's what they say. Here's the hope. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. So if I could hammer anything home tonight to you new people, they're going to give you precise instructions on what they did. And you don't have to do what you want. Just follow what they did and then see what happens. AA says, we want you to do an experiment. You come here, your life's an effing mess. Anybody have an effing mess life? Your life's an effing mess. You come here and we say, here, do this experiment. Follow what's in this book and then tell us what happens. We're not going to tell you what happens. I can tell you what happened to me, but you're going to tell us. And Carl told you tonight, 2 years ago, his life was an effing mess. And look at him today. He's got a business. He's got a great relationship with his kids. He's an excellent member of AA. He works the steps with other people. His life has changed. So if you want the precise instructions on how to recover, that's what's in this book. So this book is a good idea, don't you think? Because if you have another plan, then you don't need this. Just follow your plan. But if your plan doesn't work, you might want to do this. So I turn to the doctor's opinion. This is the first chapter. This doctor in 1935 worked with alcoholics. And he told us what's wrong with me. He was not an alcoholic, but he knew what was wrong with me. He was a smart guy. And he knew what was wrong with me before I was even born. And he knows what's wrong with everybody in this room. And this information is of absolute importance that I understand it and believe it if I'm going to recover. So he said two things. If you turn to on page XXVII, I don't know why it's Roman numerals. In the original book, it was numbers, but AA, you know, alcoholics, they had to change something. But anybody here is an addict and an alcoholic, or an alcoholic addict, or whatever, here's what it says. The subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted. Afflicted means you're suffering with alcoholic addiction. So if you're an alcoholic, you are an addict. You're addicted to alcohol. An addict is someone who's addicted to a substance to change how they feel. Now, some people may say they're not an alcoholic, they're just a drug addict, whatever. It's not my thing to tell you what's wrong with you. But if you're addicted to alcohol, you're an addict. And most alcoholics can't take pills because it'll change the way they feel. Now, for me, my disease is that I'm addicted to anything that will change the way I feel. And so I have to be very careful. I can take, I don't take too many penicillin. It doesn't change how I feel. But if I take a drug that changes how I feel, I may take more than one. In fact, I'm so ill that when I take like penicillin, I have to take two. Because you understand, one won't work for me, right? You understand. So I just thought I'd clear that alcoholic addict stuff. There's a famous man, he wrote a chapter in the back of this book called Alcoholic Addict. He was a doctor. And he said the only difference between alcoholics and addicts is that alcoholics can't drink and they can't use drugs. And addicts can't use drugs and can't drink. Now, I don't know if that's true for everybody. But usually one leads to the other. And then you choose whatever is your drug of choice. To me, it was ever on the floor. Anybody get that? Yeah, your drug of choice is kind of silly because if you're an addict, you'll take anything. And if you're an alcoholic, you'll drink anything. I don't know if I'm making sense, but just trying to get you guys not to worry about whether you're an alcoholic or addict. Just understand what it means. Now, if you're an alcoholic on page XXVIII, he describes something that's wrong with everybody in this room if you're a real alcoholic. Because if you want to take the first step, you have to admit your powerless over alcohol, right? So you have to know what it means to be an alcoholic and what makes you powerless over alcohol. So he says, we have an allergy. We have an allergy to alcohol. It's called phenomenon of craving. It only occurs in alcoholics. Now what that means is I have two problems that make me an alcoholic. One is I have an allergy to alcohol. That means if I take one drink, my body will tell me to take a second one. Now, my body never tells me to take another penicillin, but it tells me to take another drink. In fact, I was working with two people in the meeting. I said, if we brought a keg in here and we all started to drink, we'd be fighting over the last drink, right? Fist fights. Because if you're a real alcoholic, you put alcohol in your body and you're not going to be able to stop drinking. Does anybody agree with that?
Absolutely.
Now, that experiment's been done a lot. And we call it craving. And once you have it, you can't fix it. So there's therapy's not going to help, group, triggers. None of that crap's going to work because if you put alcohol in your body, you're going to drink. Same is true for pills. Now, it says at the bottom of the page, so that's the one problem everybody in this room has. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
All right, so we don't want to do that experiment again, right? So if everybody has the phenomenon of craving, allergy, alcohol, the solution is very simple, do not drink. Has anybody told you not to drink anymore? Good idea, right? But it didn't work, did it? So alcoholics have one problem. They take a drink sober even though they know it's going to kill them. Now that's a bad situation. And he describes it, he says here at the bottom of the page, these are two powerful paragraphs. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol or a drug. Did anybody like the effect?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, if you're like me, after a while the effects stop working, right? And you just keep drinking and then you get in that spiral. It says the sensation is so elusive, that means it's so elusive, the sensation, that even though it's not good, we keep seeking it. Now here's how he describes alcoholics. They're restless, irritable, and discontented. That means that sober, you never feel okay. No matter how the day is, no matter what your life's like, you're going to find some reason that you want to change the way you feel. Because you're discontented. You're not content with life. You're irritable. Anybody get irritable? Things bother you? And you're restless. Now, they don't go into why that is. Why it is because you've separated from God. And you're playing God and you're running your own life. And as long as you run your own life and you're self-centered and you're playing God, life's never going to work. But they don't want to tell you that now. They don't want to scare you off. They're just telling you if you have this, then you're going to drink. And it says, after they have succumbed to the desire, succumb means to desire, to die. So you die to the desire to drink. So everybody admitted that drinking's a bad idea, right? Right? But yet you took another drink. Now you don't go to the drugstore and say, liquor store and say, you know, I'm restless, irritable, and discontented. I'm self-centered, separated from God, and I need a drink, right? No. But you feel that way. We don't understand it, but that's what happens. And when we get that feeling sober, nothing can come between us and the first drink. So people say, well, I'm going to get willpower. Anybody try willpower? Willpower makes sense if your will work. Now, my will won't work against alcohol because right before I take the drink, my mind tells me it's okay. Anybody ever have that? So your mind tells you that it's okay to do something that's going to kill you. So the first thing we're giving you a hint is you can't trust your thinking. That the disease of alcoholism centers in your mind. And your mind tells you it's okay to drink because you can't see anything wrong with it right before you drink. You only think about what's going to do for you. Did anybody start feeling better on the way to the liquor store? You start feeling better already, right? You're getting your drugs, you know they're coming, you're feeling better. Why? Because you're seeking that change, that perception. And once your mind is damaged, your mind's never going to be able to tell you that you can't drink. Do you understand? All right, so this book is for those people. That's why they wrote this book. And then on Bill's story, here's what he did to recover. Now on page 8, this is the guy who wrote this book. He describes his drinking. He's like 38 years old, and here's where he is. No words can tell the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Morass is a swamp. Anybody have self-pity? All alcoholics have self-pity. We're obsessed with ourselves, and we're full of self-pity. Quicksand is stretched around me in all directions. Think about it. You're sitting in your chair. You've got quicksand around you. You're feeling so sorry for yourself. He said, I've met my match. I've been overwhelmed. Alcohol is my master. Anybody relate to that? Anybody get down on their knees and say, God help me. I can't go on anymore. Realizing he was completely defeated. Now, he's completely defeated, but yet he lived 36 more years. So how did he go from that to helping write this book? Isn't that a good question? So for you guys who are new, you might want to read this book and do what he did. Now here's what he did. On page 12, page 13, he's admitted to the hospital. He's getting DTs. Now, his friend came to him, and he was in the Oxford group. The Oxford group had 6 steps. They understood the solution to their problems was a relationship with God. And so he told him about this, and he says, in the hospital, I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. So he understood that God could solve his problem. That's the second step, right? And then he said, I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time to myself I was nothing, that without him was lost. So he took the third step, and then he took steps 4 through 9. He faced his sins. He became willing to have his newfound friend, which is God, take them away. That's steps 6 and 7. His schoolmate visited him. He fully acquainted him with his problems and deficiencies. He met a list of people he had hurt or toward whom he felt resentment. He expressed entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting they were wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And you go through this. These are steps 4 through 9. So he took the steps. And then he says in the next paragraph, he had a new consciousness of God. And he said that he began to seek God when he was in doubt for direction and strength to meet his problems. And then here's the promise. This is what I promise you, if you're new. He promised when these things were done, when he had finished the steps, he would enter upon a new relationship with his Creator. Now, my relationship when I came in here was that I was playing God. I didn't realize it. I believed in God, and I used God to get me out of jams. But I didn't allow God to work in my life. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize that I was running the show. And so my new relationship is I know God's in charge. I pray. I ask him to direct my life all the time. And so he has, and this is the elements of a way of living which answered all of his problems. Anybody have problems? New people have a lot of problems. We all have problems, but this way of life will answer them all. It doesn't talk about drinking. It talks about all your problems living. So he says that the price, all you need to do is believe in the power of God and become willing, honest, and humble, to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. And so you want to be able to do that. There's no reason why you can't. It says it's simple. It's a simple program. You hear that at meetings. But a price had to be paid. It meant the destruction of my self-centeredness. And the steps are how I destroy my self-centeredness. And then I can turn in all things to the Father Light who presides over us all. And then if you turn to the last page of this chapter, it says, Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. Now, if you're new and you think life's bad and you haven't been able to find a way to live and to not drink and use, think about this. Think where he was on page 8, and then he lived 36 more years. Now, and there's a solution. We're not going to read it all, thank God. We'll be here all night. But it says, I am pretty funny. It says on page 20, the people have been here around. They think I'm going to go all night, so they're really worried. But stop it. All right. On page 20, at the top, it says, you may have already asked yourself why it is that the people became so very ill from drinking, and we're going to tell you why. It says, doubtless, you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinions to the contrary, they had recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Does anybody here want to recover?
No.
All the new people want to recover, don't you? So if you're an alcoholic and you want to get over it, anybody wants to get over your alcoholism? Anybody here want to do that? Good. It says you may be asking, what do I have to do? Isn't that a good question? There's only one question you ask when you come to AA, and it says, what do I have to do? What do I do next? Now, here's how they answer it. Here's how I answer it to you. It's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. This book is going to tell you, if you're an alcoholic, what you specifically need to do to recover. So this is why we study the book. That's why we study it here. And I've gone through, people in the room are shaking their heads. They've gone through this book, and their life has changed. And then you're supposed to help somebody else go through this book and change their life. And then you share that at meetings. It says, we shall tell you what we have done. So if you want to have what they had, you do. All you have to do is do what's in this book. Now, if you take your hand and you go to page 21 and you go to page 88 and you hold this. Anybody hold this like this? Anybody see this? This is all you need to do to save your life. Is there anybody who can't pick this up? You see how silly it is? But alcoholics will fight this. I'm not that bad yet. I don't need to do everything in here. This guy won't shut up. I'm never coming back to this meeting. Well, that's okay. But this is all you need to do. If you don't remember anything else, you go home and you tell the guy, he says, I hold this book. I guarantee if you do everything in this book. Because we read that tonight. Rarely have we seen a person fail as thoroughly followed the path. The path is to God. The path is to a solution of your life problems. And so it's not that much. Anybody can lift this up. Now, they talk about in this chapter, and I'm going to tell you, that there's two problems that an alcoholic has. We talked about the body, right? And we can't change that. And then they talk about on page 23 that the discussion of my allergy would be academic if I didn't take the first drink. It says, therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic in the top paragraph centers in his mind rather than his body. So really, what we need to do, you know, when alcoholics kill themselves, they don't shoot their feet. They shoot their mind. And what we really want to do is tell our mind, I don't want to pay attention to you anymore. And that's what the steps do. The steps tell me not to rely on my thinking and what I see and to change the way I see everything. So then on page 24, they have this paragraph in italics. They call this squiggly writing. Now, squiggly writing is very important. If it's in squiggly writing, you better understand what they're saying. It says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Anybody agree with that? Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. I told you why, right? Because right before you drink, your mind won't tell you there's anything wrong with it. And once your mind's damaged in that way, your willpower will never work. Now, you have willpower at 9 in the morning. You just finished throwing up for an hour. But at 5 o'clock, you're drinking. How the hell did that happen? Because your mind, and they're going to tell you, because at certain times, we're unable at certain times to bring in our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. Anybody agree with that? Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the alcoholic does. Alcoholics are clever. They say, I know when that certain time comes. I'm going to be on the alert, right? I'm on the alert. I got my radar out. I know when that certain time's coming. You know, he's talking, but I know. Well, guess what? It says you're unable at certain times. You don't know when the certain time's going to come. That's the problem. It could happen to somebody tonight. I hope it doesn't, but somebody in this room could decide it's okay to drink tonight. And they tell you why. Because you cannot bring into consciousness, that means into your consciousness with sufficient force, the memory of suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. Now, I would change the big book. I would say even minutes. So an alcoholic can't recall right before he drinks how bad it was. Does anybody think it was bad? Anybody think it was bad before and then drink again, you see? Because we can't remember. So it says, I'm without defense against the first drink. Now, that's pretty sad that what they really tell you is you're going to drink again if you're an alcoholic. Alcoholics don't relapse. They just drink. Alcoholics drink. That's what we do. And that's our normal state. And we're kind of not going to be able to stop drinking unless we find a solution to that. And the solution to that is in this book, and it's the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's called a spiritual awakening. You're awakening to something in your mind that will say bad idea. So how'd they write this book? By working the steps, they found the relationship with God that right before they drank, God would say to them, bad idea. And they wouldn't drink. So how do I learn, how do I today see the truth about alcohol? Why am I not drinking today? Because I've asked God into my life, I've worked the steps, I seek him constantly, and he gives me the choice not to drink. No matter how long you're in recovery, you're never going to have the choice to drink again on your own. Does everybody understand that? The choice has to come from God. So he says he wants it to take the 12 steps. Well, that's the solution. So then you get to more about alcoholism. Now, more about alcoholism, why did they put another chapter about alcoholics? You're not depressed enough, you're going to have to read another chapter about it. Because they know how we are. We're very clever. We're clever. We're saying, well, that's true, but it's not that bad. I'm gonna be able to figure this out. Anybody ever say that? Mm. Yeah, because we're alcoholics. We always have a plan. Well, here's what they tell you more about alcoholism. It's a whole chapter telling you that you're going to have this queer mental twist, they call it, that will tell you you can drink no matter what happens. You're never going to be able to stop that. And so if you go to page 43, and I suggest if you can get a big book, if you're in Vallejo, you read this chapter more about alcoholism. The end of this chapter, here's how it ends. Once more, so if you were new in AA, they would have you read 43 pages in the doctor's opinion just to get this one thing into your mind. And I hope I've helped you see that. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except if neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense, his defense must come from a higher power. Everybody see that? Now you can read it and you can say it, but you have to understand it inside here. You have to really understand that. There's nothing wrong with not having a defense against the first thing. The only thing wrong about it is not understanding it and not asking for help. Now if you have that, this book is written for you. On the chapter to We Agnostics, it tells you, on the first paragraph, it tells you if you're an alcoholic, if you cannot quit entirely, anybody have that problem? Or when drinking, you have little control of the amount you take, it says you're alcoholic. Now here's a key line in the big book, you won't hear this at Vallejo. It says, if that's the case, if you're a real alcoholic, it says, You're suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. In other words, if you're a real alcoholic, you have an illness, and the only solution for that is to have a relationship with some power greater than yourselves, which will change your life and the way you live. It doesn't say it's an option. It's the only way. And then we read how it works today, right? And just a few things. If you turn to page 59, then I'll shut up. It says, one, we admitted we're powerless over alcohol. We talked about that. You're powerless in two ways, right? You can't control how much you drink, and you can't choose not to drink, right? Now, a lot of people accept that, but why do alcoholics die? Because they can't get over this hyphen and admit that their lives had become unmanageable. Now, they left something out of the big book. You know what it says? Unmanageable by me. I made my life unmanageable. So what I have to do is fire myself as the manager of my life. And I have to do it permanently. I have to do it all the time, every minute. Step two says you believe that God can restore you to sanity. What that means is that God can help your mind see the truth about alcohol before you drink. Isn't that a good thing? Mm-hmm. Now, step three is just a decision. You're going to decide to turn your life, your will, which is your thinking, and your life, which is your actions, over to the care of God. Anybody think that's a good idea? It's better than me running it. Now, I was in charge of my life. I took care of my life, and look where I got. I got a wristband. My life was a mess. And nobody came to me when I had the wristband and said, Michael, what's your plan of recovery? I want you to write a book about it and tell us. Nobody cared what I thought. Now, of course, I'm an alcoholic. I thought what I thought was really important. But what I thought was actually killing me. So you came to believe. So you don't have to know anything about God. It doesn't even say God. But you have to believe that there's something greater than you can fix your problem. Now, you know how you can believe that? Carl's an example. Carl was hopeless 2 years ago. He just told you 2 years later he's been able to stay sober. He's getting his life together. See, we're supposed to be witnesses to new people that this works. This book was a witness. It's a testimony. It's like the New Testament. And it says, made a decision to do this. So if you make a decision to give God your life, why doesn't anything change? Does anybody know? Because if you make a decision, you haven't done anything. So if you want your life to change, you have to do the rest of the steps. Now, step four seems really complicated. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Well, what the hell does that mean? Well, what they're telling you is you're going to look at your life run by self-will, and you're going to look at the things in your life and your mind that was blocking you from God. And in the fourth step, it's very simple. You only look at three things: your fears, your resentment, and your harmful conduct. And it's very simple instructions. You come here, we go through it, we have the website, it tells you how to do it. Then step five is where you admit to God, yourself, and another human being the exact nature of your wrongs. Well, what that is you're going to admit to yourself what in your character caused you to do all the things you did. We don't care if you rob a bank 100 times or commit adultery 100 times. We're interested in why you did it. What in your character? And these are your character defects. And then in 6 and 7, you're going to ask God to remove these defects. In step 8, you're going to make amends to the people you hurt, unless you're going to harm them. And in 10 and 11 is where, through prayer, meditation, constant inventory, you're going to have a relationship with God. And that's all you have to do if you want to recover from this disease. So I hope it was helpful. The one last thing on page 60, it says, we were alcoholic and can't manage our own lives. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. That no human power can relieve our alcoholism? God, anybody believe that? Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. God could, and what if you saw it? It's not an if. If you seek God, and how do you seek God? You'll say, well, I don't know how to seek God. The steps are how you do that. You're taking action down a path to the solution. And if you go down the path, things will happen to you. Things will change. And you'll see that something's working in your life that's not you anymore. And that's the solution. So I hope it was helpful. And we'll open it up for a few minutes. Congratulations again, the Quran. I hope you guys come back. We have 3 meetings. We go through the book. If you come afterwards, I'll give you a link to our website. We have the whole book podcast like this.